Here's the quote. When all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Bingo. Theodore Roosevelt. Good for you. Good for you. I mean, is that not true? And is there not a certain amount of that we have lost in, again, just today's society in general, that we would see our mothers as actually being important to our nation? To our nation, absolutely. One supreme asset of the national life. Well, here's what we're not going to do today. I'm going to start by telling you what we're not going to do. We're not going to go to Proverbs 31. I read something very funny about this today. We're not going to learn about the excellent wife and mother. In fact, I read something from a pastor on a biblical website that I frequent, and he said this, quote, some women, after seeing the church bulletin on Mother's Day with the sermon listed as Proverbs 31, say to themselves, oh, great, thanks for ruining my Mother's Day. I can't stand little Ms. Perfect Proverbs 31 woman. Now I have to leave church feeling guilty. That's what we're not going to do today. You're not going to leave here feeling guilty. We want to honor our moms today. In fact, actually, the author argues that we often look at Proverbs 31 in an incorrect context. He writes, quote, the truth is Proverbs 31 presents an ideal that could not possibly be attained by all women and is not meant to be attained by all women. It teaches some timeless principles, but was not given by God to be an exact checklist for women. As a matter of fact, it was written by King Lemuel based on things his mother taught him about what to look for in a wife and how to praise and thank and honor his wife. Amen, ladies, Proverbs 31, good. Well, that's like I said, that's not where we're going this morning. What we're going to do today is we want to focus on praising, thanking God, honoring our mothers, thanking them, praising God for them, and we will do this by going to the scriptures and seeing, don't get scared, 12 reasons why you should praise, honor, thank your mother. Some will be a little longer, some will go real quick, all right? So number one, here's the number one reason. Honor your mother because God commands it. He simply commands it. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be doing some jumping around today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You might already know when I said Exodus 20 what section we're in. The Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. We see a command to honor mom. God writes, Moses wrote it down, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Short and sweet, but here's a couple of things to remember about this particular command. The context, again, of these Ten Commands is not just for individuals. The commandments were given to who? A whole nation, the nation of Israel. It was a way for them to function as a godly society. That's what I think Theodore Roosevelt got, right? He understood that. This is part of God's plan for a godly society. It was a way that God would bring about human flourishing in a society. I think we have absolutely forgotten that, just chucked it out the window today. Also, the Ten Commandments, you figure they're broken down into two tables, really. The first four commandments have to do with man's relationship to who? God, right? Then the last six have to do with man's relationship with each other, which is where we find this. Honor your mother is the first of the commands relating to human being relationships with other humans, and this is significant. Thirdly, this command is also one of the ten with a promise. Did you catch that? He commands something, but then he gives this awesome promise that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then lastly, there's also a consequence in a negative sense for not doing it. In Exodus 21, one chapter later in verse 15, God told Moses to write down this: he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. We see now the premium that God puts on mothers. Now, some of you might be thinking, but Pastor Jay, you know, we're in the New Testament now. We're not under the Old Testament law. We don't have to do the Mosaic law. We're under grace. We're under grace. Yes, we are. Thank the Lord we are. But thankfully, this is something that is also reiterated in the New Testament, starting with Jesus quoting the Old Testament in Matthew 19:19, telling the rich young ruler to do what? Honor your father and mother. Then Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, that's good. Turn there. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So go almost to the other end, other side of your Bible. Galatians, then Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, like Colossians, is one of those books where the first three chapters are all kind of great, thick doctrine of Christ. The latter three chapters have to do with applying that doctrine. But here in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, it's quoting the same Exodus and Deuteronomy passages. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So, God commands you to honor your mother. Secondly, honor your mother with your obedience. Honor your mother with your obedience. We just read right there in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a command. It's a command. It's not a choice. It's not, well, I can do this if I want to or not. I can choose to obey or not obey. Now, God and his word are the ultimate authority for any family, right? God designed families to operate in a certain way. He has given special authority to the dad of each family, followed by the mom of each family. Children are to obey their moms and dads, and certainly God. I've mentioned this before, and maybe you've practiced this. One of the things we try to teach our children from day one is what we call first-time obedience. It is that they are to obey right away, all the way, and with a, say it kids, happy heart, joyful heart. Good. Gianna gets ice cream too today. All right, so we got two. Thirdly, you want to honor your mother with your words. Honor your mother with your words. Remember, Exodus 21, what the consequence was: he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. We see in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother, meaning a sinful person that would do that, that would curse father, not bless mother. Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Would that include the words out of your mouth about your moms? Absolutely. Let these be acceptable in God's sight every time you open your mouth to your mom. Ephesians 4:29, as a general principle that can be applied to moms, let some unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, because that's okay. No, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. I mean, that's it. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. We probably all disobey this command daily, multiple times during the day. But no, we should let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth towards our mothers. Only words that will be edifying to them, encouraging to them, a blessing to them. You know, sometimes, unless this only happens to people down in Reading, we get very careless with our words directed at our moms. They know us so well, and we know them so well. And there are times that the words just seem to fly out of our mouths. We don't really stop to think or ask ourselves, am I honoring my mom when I speak to her in this way? Am I holding back unwholesome words and only letting out wholesome words? But again, that probably doesn't happen to us here in Weaverville, huh? Right. I've heard kids say some horrible and despicable things to their moms, and you have too. And not just from unbelievers. Whether you are young or old, you need to be careful how you talk to your mom, and you need to make sure that when you disagree with her or you find yourself upset at her, you still don't say dishonoring things. You still don't dishonor her with your words. Because at that point, then you're sinning. You're sinning against your mom, and you're sinning against God. And of course, at that point, you need to repent, and you need to repent both to the Lord and to your mom. Number four, honor your mother by revering her and respecting her. Honor your mother by revering and respecting her. In Leviticus 19 and verse 3, part of the law says, every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. Revere them. Revere your mom. It means to honor her. And it means to honor her with your attitude. Revere her. Respect her. Now, made me think when I was putting this together, what about those of you young or old who, excuse me, issue with revering your mom? Maybe you don't think that your mom has done anything that warrants your respect. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are commanded to honor, revere, and respect her because of the sovereign, God-ordained position that he has placed with her being your mother. You may not like your boss at work. You might disagree with your boss on many points. You might think that they're a lousy leader. You wish you had a different boss, and though those things may be true, you still need to honor your boss with your reverence and respect for the sheer fact that they are your boss, right? We might also say ordained by God. We need to do the same thing with our mothers. We need to reverence and respect them, even if we feel like they have done things to us or in our lives that wouldn't warrant that. Here's the deal. If your mom is really so bad that you as a Christian struggle with honoring, revering, or respecting her, then chances are she's probably not a believer. And so you need to do these things for that reason as well. Right, for the sake of the gospel, the sake of being able to share Christ with her. You have to ask yourself if you, as a believer, are disrespectful, spiteful, vengeful towards your unsaved mother, how are you going to share the love of Christ with her without sounding like a hypocrite? The answer is you're not. You're not. Now, youth, all eyes up here, youth. Let me see your eyes up here. I want to talk to you for a sec. Youth, I'm talking to you right now. How are you at reverencing and respecting your moms? Do you do it in your attitude? Do you do it in your actions? Do you do it with your words? If your mom asks you to take out the trash or to do the recycling or to vacuum the living room or clean out the cat box or wash the dishes or do your homework or do your laundry or fold your laundry or put your now clean folded laundry away, please. And you give her one of those. Or, oh, but it's so-and-so's turn. It's not even my turn. Or you mumble under your breath. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm really sick of this. Or you even worse, tell her, no. Then beware. Because I would direct your attention to Proverbs 30 and verse 17, which says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. All right? So there you go. If you're going to disobey mom, there better not be any big ravens, eagles, crows around, okay? Something to think about. We have a lot of ravens, crows, and eagles around here too, by the way. Number five, honor your mother by heeding her wise counsel. Honor your mother by heeding her wise counsel. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25. This is a section in Proverbs compiled by Solomon, but not originally written by him. Chapter 23 is all about life and conduct. And in verse 22 we read, listen to your fathers who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. In other words, this is how you are not to despise your mother, by getting wisdom and instruction and understanding and truth. Verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And again, this happens because you have listened to that wise counsel, instruction, and teaching of your mother. So to the youth, I say, oh, I know, kids. You're always wise in your own eyes. We get that. We were there. We were there, and your parents and your grandparents, we were all there, wise in our own eyes, too. Adults, your moms can still teach you a thing or two. They still can, no matter what age they are. You might be familiar with a great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. They all became ministers. At a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, so, which Morgan is the greatest preacher? While the son looked at the father, he replied, Mother. So listen. Listen to your mother's wise and godly counsel, because, yes, she does know. I was going to say a little bit more than you. She knows a lot more than you, okay? Number six. Honor your mother by taking seriously her God-given role in your life. Honor your mother by taking seriously her God-given role in your life. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 22, God spoke to Ezekiel and pointed out the sins of Israel, starting with the shedding of blood, meaning murder, even calling Jerusalem the bloody city. This was followed by abominations, idolatry of epic proportions, and then this sin in chapter 22, verse 7, they have treated father and mother lightly within you. The Hebrew word there for lightly means of little account, insignificant, despised, with contempt, even dishonor, to which God then gives some consequences in verse 4. He says, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mocking to all the lands for these things. So you have to wonder if, gosh, that isn't the way it is today. Some countries who honor their parents must, I think it a joke the way we in America have desecrated the role of father and mother. Fathers and mothers, in a biblical sense, are sure not esteemed much anymore in this country. In fact, much of our society really sees parents as, frankly, irrelevant. In fact, much of our society in how they see parents as irrelevant, a point in fact is how we are stripping away the rights of parents. It's happening, gang. It's happening, and it shows the devaluation of parents and what we think and feel about parents. Again, children, young and old, you must recognize that your mom is your mom because God has ordained it that way. He was the one who designed the family unit, which, by the way, as we've already established, consists first and foremost of husband and wife. Notice, again, the kids aren't even in the picture at that point at all. They don't come in to play until after the fall. At the end of those 6 days of creation, you have man and woman as husband and wife, and that's it. In other words, children, it's not about you. It's not. It's not about you. In any case, God is the one who decided that you would have a mom. You do, therefore, and you should never treat her lightly. You should never treat her as of little account or as being insignificant. You shall not despise her or treat her with contempt or dishonor her in any way. Instead, you are to respect her, revere her, obey her, heed her, take her seriously, and be a blessing to her. Be a blessing to her. And as we've been saying, this command of honoring your mother isn't just for those who are still living at home. It is for any of us who still have a mother. Jesus affirmed this when he rebuked a bunch of grown men, the Pharisees, in Mark 7 for not honoring their father or mothers because they were trying to find a way out of financially taking care of parents. Why? So that they could hoard more money for themselves. And he even reminds them of that passage in Exodus, he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Jesus is calling them on the carpet. And the fact is, God takes very seriously children of all ages who do not honor their mothers. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. In the Old Testament, when kids were completely out of control, stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, dishonoring, and it wasn't ending, they were stoned to death. They were stoned to death by the community. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. God takes this seriously. Number 7, honor your mother for having given birth to you. Honor your mother for having given birth to you. We're actually just going to let that one go. We're not going to get into any major things. Other than, actually, I'll say this. You might remember that when God was handing out curses in the garden after the fall, one of the curses fell upon the woman. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, in pain, you will bring forth children. So there you go. Honor your mother for having given birth to you and for going through even the curse of God in bringing pain in that birth. Amen. Good. Number 8. Julie. Number 8, honor your mother because she loves you. Honor your mother because she loves you. You might think of some of the famous moms in scripture who loved their kids. You might think of the love that Sarah had for Isaac, the love that Rebecca had for Jacob, Rachel for Joseph and Benjamin, Hannah who even dedicated her firstborn son Samuel to the Lord, or Moses's mother, right, who in order to preserve his life put him in a basket and sent him floating down the river. Or the love that Mary had for Jesus, who was not just the Savior of the world and the Son of God to her, but was her very own son as well. I mean, imagine for a moment, if you will, as a mom having to witness the unjust treatment of your child, see them inflicted with tremendous bodily injury at the hands of wicked men, see your child be brutalized, humiliated, shamed, tortured, all in front of you, and finally left to die a slow and excruciating death. I mean, can you just imagine how much of Mary's love was in her tears when Jesus went to the cross? Well, if you're a mother, of course you can. Of course you can. Mothers, they care for and nurture their children. They are tender with them. They teach them. They help them. They encourage them. The love of a mother is absolutely like no other. And let's face it, moms, you love your children in good times and in bad, don't you? Whether your children are acting sinfully or righteously, you love in every difficult situation and circumstance, and whether it was a product of your child's own doing or not. No matter what happens to any of us in our lifetimes, for better or for worse, our mothers will always love us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul writes, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." In a New Orleans cemetery, there's a monument which has created some interest. It represents a ship in the midst of a storm-tossed sea, a mother and child clinging together on the vessel. On the base is an inscription saying that they were drowned on July 4th, 1900. Excuse me. They were sole survivors of a large estate. And the question was, under whose name should the estate be administered, the name of the mother or the name of the daughter? The court decided it should be in the name of the child, reckoning that she went down last because a mother would certainly hold her in a place of safety until the end. What a beautiful tribute to a mother's love. Number 9. Honor your mother because she teaches you to love God and His Word. Honor your mother because she teaches you to love God and His Word. Go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9 is something known as the Shema in the Hebrew, which is Hebrew for hear, just means hear. And this little section of verses 4 to 9 has become the Jewish confession of faith recited twice daily by devout Jews. Moses says this, well, it's the Lord again, through Moses. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Back then, they would do just that. Well, you know, sometimes the Jewish little prayer box that will be on a door frame with a prayer inside. Well, back then, too, or the truly devout will also do the same kind of thing and put verses on their hands. They will put verses on their head, like in a headband kind of deal, that they would be always thinking about and meditating on the Word of God. But this, especially with this section where he talks about that that these words are to be on our heart, and we are to teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, lie down, when you rise up, which means when? Always. Right? Always. We recently did the Paul Tripp parenting class, and that was one of the points that he made right at the beginning, that before we even get to the Word of God with our kids, just show them God in everyday life from the time that they are born. Teach them about creation. Show them everything in the course of a day that God has done, that God has created. Help them to just have an awe of God as they grow up. And then, of course, you take them to the Word of God, and they see how awesome God is in creation and in creating not just the world and the animals and the streams and the river, but people as well. That God is the ultimate authority, then they will start to have a desire for God's word. It takes time, moms, dads. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, of course. Proverbs 6 and verse 20 says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." So youth, you're not to forsake your mother's teaching. You're not to blow off your mother's teaching. Mother, it also means that you are teaching. That you are teaching them the ways of God, because that's what was implied here. Proverbs 31 verse 26 says, as of moms, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Well, it's understood to be God's wisdom. She opens her mouth and gives out God's wisdom. And the teaching of kindness comes out from her mouth to her children. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you," talking to Timothy, "which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Why? Because they taught it to Timothy. He's commending mom and grandma for having teaching Timothy the word of God. Now, moms, hear me when I say this. This may turn out to be one of the things that your children will honor you for the most. How you led them in the ways of God. You have a tremendous charge, an incredible responsibility, because let's face it, you as mom should be spending the majority of time with your kids, right? Especially when they're young. Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, but my kids are all grown up and they have kids of their own. I have grandkids. Is it too late? Never, never too late. And now you have the bonus of being able to teach and lead maybe your grandkids to Christ. In other words, you still have the opportunity for honor in how you can be an influence in your children or grandchildren's or great-grandchildren's lives. Moms, show your children the love of God. Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are sinners who need a Savior. Start that from day one. The Savior, of course, is Jesus. That he died for their sins, that he loves them, that he went to the cross for them, that he after dying was put in the grave 3 days later, resurrected from the dead so that they could be forgiven of their sins. That they could have eternal life. Never too soon to show your kids the gospel. Never, ever, ever. Instruct them in the scriptures, that is God's holy word, the Bible, right? Because seriously, if these things don't come from you, who are they going to come from? This idea or understanding, well, that's for the church's job. No, it's not. It's your blessed job. Receive the blessing of doing that. Let the church come alongside you. Let us help to build into your children. Let us affirm the things that you are teaching them already at home. Every day in every way, you need to be filling their hearts and minds with the Word of God. Help to develop in them a biblical worldview. See every experience in life as a teaching opportunity. That was one of the things that we all really learned from the Paul Tripp thing too. Every moment that they are in sin is a teachable opportunity that we need to take on and see as a blessing, not a curse. Oh, I
I got to sin straight.
The same Dr. Morgan that I mentioned earlier, G. Campbell Morgan, said this: my dedication to the preaching of the word was maternal. Mother never told it to the baby or the boy, but waited. When but 8 years old, I preached to my little sister and to her dolls arrayed in orderly form before me. My sermons were Bible stories, which I had first heard from my mother. Now, yes, moms, this is an honor that you have to earn. It's an honor that you have to earn, but isn't it worth it? Children, youth out there of all ages, grandchildren, honor your mother or grandmother or whoever has taken care of you for having instructed and taught you in the ways of God. And as they continue to do so, honor them by listening to them, by heeding their wisdom and advice. Number 10, honor your mother for being a godly example to you. Honor your mother for being a godly example to you. Meaning, moms are now not to just teach and instruct, but to live a godly life in front of their children. This goes for dads too. I'm not, in this case, trying to put moms on the spot or anything. It's for all. It's another one of those kind of earning the honor kind of situations. Not just talking the talk, moms, but walking the walk, right? Moms, you are to be a living and godly example to your children, to your grandchildren. Again, another honor to earn, but remember, your children are always watching you. They are. Even if you're up there in your golden years, they're watching you. They take in so much more than we often think they do, don't they? And when you least expect it, watch out. Watch out, because they will say or do something that you said or that you did. And believe me, it probably is not going to be in the privacy of your own home. No, it's probably going to come out in the grocery store. Or it's probably going to come out in school at an assembly event or, you know, in a classroom or in the middle of, you know, a Little League game or at a restaurant or your friend's house. It might even come out right here at church. Mommy, you remember how you said Mrs. So-and-so should stop dyeing her hair because she isn't fooling anybody? Moms, there is honor for you from your children if you live out a godly life in front of them. They must see daily your faith in action. If they don't see that you have a deep and passionate love for God, His Son, His Word, the people of God, the church, could you ever expect them to? When the last will and testament of Henry J. Hines, yes, that Hines, the wealthy distributor of the famous 57 varieties, was read, it was found to contain the following confession, quote, "Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? "I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have obtained." Again, children of all ages, honor your mother for having been a godly example, and because of this example, leading you in the ways of the Lord. Number 11, honor your mother because she cares for your family. Honor your mother because she cares for your family. Now we can read a little bit of Proverbs 31. You're welcome to turn there if you like. Proverbs 31. We're going to see some of the ways that this woman cared for her family. Proverbs 31, verses 13 to 19, speaks of this mom. "She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Both are tools for making clothing. Down in verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Verses 27 to 29, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Verse 31, "Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." And again, we're not saying moms have to, this isn't the checklist for moms. The idea here, and we all know this, is that your mom cares for your family. She cares for and does many incredible things for your family. So honor her. They provide for their children. They sacrifice for their children. Moms protect their children. Honor them for this. And lastly, number 12, honor your mother by taking care of her. Honor your mother by taking care of her. Now, guess who is supposed to take care of widows first and foremost? This came up in the Bible study this morning about the church caring for widows. But before the church steps in, guess who is to care for widows? Their families. Their families have the scriptural obligation, which usually means who? Their children. Their children. In 1 Timothy 5, in 3 to 10, Paul writes this to Timothy, "Honor widows who are widows indeed." And then he gets into the definition of widows indeed in a little bit. "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God." Right there, as children, even adult children, we are to make some return to our parents. In most cases, this often means moms, because in many cases, they might become the one that is widowed first. "But if anyone does not provide for his own," speaking to children, "and especially for those of his household, even his elderly mother, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's pretty hardcore for kids that shun their mothers. Then Paul speaks of the widow who maybe doesn't have children and should be put on the church's list to be cared for. He says in verse 9, "A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to every good work." Sometimes our moms may need financial help. Maybe they just need things done around the house. Maybe they just need some simple kindness and encouragement from their children. Maybe they just need a phone call, a note. Maybe they just need a little bit of your time. They have spent years taking care of us. Now it's our turn to return the favor. Many of you might be familiar with that book. It's a children's book, I guess you'd say, called I'll Love You Forever. Oh, if that one doesn't get you bawling by the end, I don't know what will. But it starts out with a mom giving birth to her child and rocking the child in her arms, saying, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." And the child grows up in the book. And at each moment of time, the child growing up, the mom finds time to find that child, maybe even at 10, at 15, 16, 18, up into his 30s, to still hold the child and set the child on her lap and rock her child, saying, that same line, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. She does this into his adult years until the day comes when she is finally too old to go over to her son's house anymore and too old and feeble to hold him on her lap, to rock him and say these words. And it gets me choked up just thinking about it. And so the son goes to the mom. And he holds her. And he puts her on his lap. And rocks her. And says, I'll love you forever. And I'll like you for always. And as long as I'm living, my mother you'll be. Honor your mothers by taking care of them. In some way, somehow, some form. Those of you who have moms, raise your hand. Oh, that's right. That's all of us, huh? Honor them. Let us all honor our moms. Every second of every day of our lives, let us bring blessing to them, which is really ultimately to bring blessing on yourself because it's pleasing to the Lord. And moms, oh, love God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be a God-fearing mom who receives honor from her children. As a pastor once said in a Mother's Day tribute, my mother practices what I preach. Honor your mother. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We thank you for what we have heard from your word about honoring our moms and how we can do just that. We thank you for them. We praise you for them. Oh, Lord, may they be blessed, not just today because it's Mother's Day, but yes, they should be blessed today. May they be blessed by their children all days. We pray this in your son's name.